How is one to live a moral and compassionate existence when one is fully aware of the blood, the horror inherent in life, when one finds darkness not only in one's culture, but within oneself? If there is a stage at which an individual life becomes truly adult, it must be when one grasps the irony in its unfolding and accepts responsibility for a life lived in the midst of such paradox. One must live in the middle of contradiction, because if all contradiction were eliminated at once, life would collapse. There are simply no answers to some of the great pressing questions. You simply continue to live them out, making your life a worthy expression of leaning into the light. And this week's opening quote comes from Barry Lopez. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And life truly is a paradox, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? It really is. Especially living here on this earth. We have so many people who want good, and we have so much beauty on the earth, and yet we still have so much pain, so much suffering, so much hardship. We live in a world of abundance, and yet most of the people that live here live in a state of scarcity. We live in a world where people thirst for truth, and very often they live buried deep within a web of lies. And that really is true for most people, folks. We live in a world of lies. I mean, really, when you look at history and you look at the world today, it's hard to know what's going on at all anymore. It really is. I mean, we can't trust the mainstream media. We certainly can't trust the scientists. We can't trust the education system. We very often can't trust what is written in books by other people, because very often most books that we read are simply someone's interpretation of someone else's books that have been written previously. That's very often what we find within the academic world. And when you go out and you travel the world and you begin to see things for yourself, you find that the world is a very, very different place to the one that was portrayed to us on the television or in movies or in the education system. It's a very different world to the world we think it is. And with the amount of disinformation that comes out of the media these days, and the amount of disinformation from the science community and also from our political institutions, it's very difficult to know what the truth is in regard to virtually anything these days, folks. It really is. And it's truly a paradoxical world that we live in. And yet here we are, and so the question is, what do we do about it? Well, folks, there's a lot we can do about it, and there's also a lot of distractions to prevent us from doing anything about our situation. Have you noticed that, folks? Have you noticed how many distractions there are lately? I mean, we've got all these environmental catastrophes going on everywhere, such as Fukushima, such as the CSG mining, the coal mining, and everything that's going on with the environment. We've got wars all over the place. We've got planes being shot out of the sky. Ebola scares, financial scares, Jade Helm waiting in the wings. We've got the West's new favourite boogeyman, ISIS, and all of the theatrical and wholly fake beheadings that go along with it. We've got the flat earth debate literally running rampant on the internet, so nobody's paying attention to their surroundings. Everyone's got their head down the rabbit hole. And we've got so many people in the truth movement now calling everybody else out as shills. That's an incredible little thing, isn't it? Everyone's gotten so frustrated with their lack of ability to be able to deal with this system that they've suddenly turned their attacks on all of their peers, and everybody's naming everybody else as a shill. Let me tell you who the real shills are, folks. I would suspect the real shills would be the people who are calling everybody else out as shills. Because when you call out someone you've never met as a shill simply because they disagree with your opinion, well, what can I say, folks? It shows a very poor foundation for one's research and one's opinion that one may have formed anyway. If that is all someone needs to come to a conclusion about someone, well, it shows how little people actually do the research, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know if you recall, but a few months ago I did a show called A Plea for Sanity, where I spoke a little bit about the flat earth debate, and I said that this was, in fact, the perfect tool to create division in the truth movement and the alternate media. And when you look at the result of what this rabbit hole has done, then it has done exactly that. And now the entire alternate media is completely divided. Everyone's arguing with each other. And that is exactly what the powers that be want. And hey, the flat earth debate is interesting. I mean, hey, I'm open. The earth could be flat. I'm open to anything, folks. We've been lied to about everything else, so nothing would surprise me at this stage. But do I think it's something that's worth focusing on at this point? Well, no, because we can debate it for the next 30 years and we're not going to know. And within the next few years, we're not going to have the internet or any freedoms left to be able to discover anything. If you really want to know if the earth is flat, you need to get a private space program and fly up into space, or you need to sail to the South Pole to find out. But you can't do any of those things because government is in the way and legislation that they write is in the way. And until you deal with that problem, then you're not going to find out the answer to anything. And that is what the whole debate has been brought to the fore now for. I really believe that, folks. That's why this debate is running rampant across the internet right now, because it is the perfect tool for division right at a time when we need unity, because we have freedom at our very fingertips if we could only unite this alternate media and unite those people who are awake with a common focus of regaining control of this system so that we can break down these barriers of division, break down these barriers of secrecy, and find out the truth about this whole reality once and for all. And the flat earth debate is most certainly preventing this from happening, simply because of the attitude of most of the people who are focusing on this debate. Most of them are very, very aggressive. Most of them are directing personal attacks at anybody who don't think it is an issue that needs to be focused on, and many of them seem to be mostly about creating and perpetuating division, which is, as I said, exactly what the powers that be would like them to do. And personally, folks, I think it's all happening by design. I really do. I think that we are so close to a breakthrough with this system. We are so close to bringing it to its knees, and we are so close to empowering the people into some positive action that now all the guns are blazing from the other side. The system is bringing out everything it can, every distraction possible, every rabbit hole it can think of to keep people's attention focused in any direction but towards those who are running the show. But I don't think it's working, folks. I think a lot of people have been pulled down rabbit holes and a lot of people have been distracted, but there's still a very large focus on the root core of the problem, and there's still a large motivation with a lot of people to actually turn their attention there and to focus on this situation so that we can bring about some positive change. Of course, once we do that, then all of the other mysteries will be answered as well by default. That's the beauty of addressing things at the root core of the problem, folks, is that it answers all of the other questions and closes up all of the other rabbit holes at the same time. It just depends on where one has their focus, you see. And that's why it's so important that we do maintain our focus and keep our focus in the right direction. Because what we've got to do, folks, is bring about some human freedom. We've got to establish some freedom for the human condition so that all of the mysteries we're investigating and all the answers that we're searching for can be answered. Because at the moment, all of the mysteries that we are facing and all the problems that we have are a result of legislation. They're a result of people in office who keep secrets from us, folks. And so what we've got to do is establish a little bit of freedom in the human condition so that we can have these blockages removed. And that way we will find out the answers to the many questions that we have regarding so many issues. And there really is a lot of issues, folks, be it the current political situation or the many issues of the past, the real state of the earth, the real state of so many things. There are so many questions that we need answers to, and there are so many doors that are closed to us as a result of this system and those who run this system. And so once we turn our attention there and do something about that problem and actually step into our hearts, I think we're going to see some real positive change. And that seems to be the direction things are going, from what I can see anyway. I've seen such a lot of positivity from people lately. I've received so many supportive emails lately, and it's truly wonderful to see. It is actually very nice of people to send me their thoughts, and for all of you out there to send me your thoughts the way you do. I'm sorry I don't answer all the emails personally. I simply don't get enough time to. I'm pretty busy these days. Plus, I'm still in jungle in Peru. I'll be here until mid-August, and so it's just kind of difficult to get that sort of stuff done. But it can get frustrating for people. I mean, a lot of people express their frustration to me that they're not seeing people around them wake up enough, and they express their frustration at how easy the world could actually be changed if we were to apply ourselves. And that really is the frustration for me as well, folks. I've been saying on the air here for 8 years now that, you know, if we were to change our heart space and change the direction that we give our attention and change our perspective of who and what we are, we could change the world in 3 seconds. We really could. We could change the world in a day if we just simply changed our perspective. I've spoken many times how we don't really need to construct any new system. I mean, as dysfunctional as this one is, this system only continues to be dysfunctional because we continue to operate within its dysfunctional parameters. If we simply changed our perspective and changed our heart space and operated according to moral parameters rather than legal parameters, or rather than corporate parameters, just always did the right thing, and we all know what's right in our hearts. If we always did that, the system would change around us. It would be an organic process. It would have to happen. You know, if everybody simply started following their heart rather than their mind, the system would change in a day. We wouldn't have to pull anything down or reconstruct anything. We could do it simply by changing our perspective and changing our focus, refocusing where our attention goes. You know, they say where attention goes, energy flows, and that's true to a degree. But it's also true that that evil that you refuse to look at persists. And so you need to give evil your attention so that you can heal the evil. That's the thing. You only got to give it your attention once. You know, if we turned and faced this system for a day and called it for what it is, we'd bring it down. And then if we stayed in that heart space and stayed bound to our moral compasses, then the world would be a wonderful place from that day forward. And we'd have so many mysteries answered. We'd have so many doors open to us at that point. That's the thing, you know. If we don't regain control of this system, then we're not going to have any answers to anything. We can debate all of these things for years to come. We can make all sorts of discoveries, and it won't make any difference at all until we gain control of the system. And that will only happen when we can gain respect for ourselves enough to respect other people. That's why I laugh at those out there in the alternative media calling everyone out as shills. Because these people do so because they don't know themselves. They don't know who and what they are. That's the only reason you would do that. They are so insecure in themselves and so insecure in their convictions that they've got to call out anybody who disagrees with them as a shill. And you can't, folks. You can't possibly know who the shills are if you haven't met these people, if you haven't examined all the work they've done. You can't judge someone as a shill because they make a mistake or because they disagree with you or because they have a different opinion or because they're looking at different research. It doesn't make sense at all. And these types of people are simply running programs. They're a huge part of the problem. And they're obviously very, very insecure in their convictions. But what we have to do, those of us out here who are still looking for the truth, have got to look to our own hearts and see the truth there and see the difference it would make if we changed our perspective and then applied that new perspective and that new moral courage and that new moral fiber and that new understanding of ourselves and that new power that we hold, the power that we've always held but forgotten we had. If we turned and applied that to this system, we'd bring it down in a day. And then all of the mysteries would be answered, all the doorways would be opened, and all the pathways would be free for us to walk. The question is, when are we going to jump out of these rabbit holes, turn our eyes inward a little bit, and discover the truth of ourselves, and then choose to apply that truth to the world? Because the day we do that is the day we're going to see some real change happen, folks. And the frustrating part for me is that that day is at the fingertips of everybody. Everybody has the opportunity to do this. They have the opportunity to do it right now. And we could change the world today if people chose to participate, if people chose to just put down their stuff with other people, get out of this blame game, get out of this concept that someone who disagrees with someone else is a shill, and turned their eyes inward a little bit and rediscovered themselves. It's very interesting, folks, but you always find that most people who direct personal attacks at others and call everybody out as shills are people who have an agenda. Usually they're selling books or selling products or whatever. They have some sort of an agenda. They wish to be seen as some type of leader. And it's a shame that such sort of people come into this type of movement, but it stands to reason that people would, because if you can get people's attention in this type of movement, then I'm sure it is a very profitable thing to do. Personally, I've never been one to sell anything. I don't have anything for sale on the website. I give all my stuff away for free. But I'm sure that there are many people who make a great deal of money by pushing these divisionist attitudes.
And unfortunately, that seems to be a lot of what the alternative media has turned into, folks. Divisionism and extremism in many cases. And when I say extremism, not extremist terrorism, but extremism in as much as people want an all or nothing reality. They want everyone to be completely free. We bring the system down now, and there's no transitional period. But I don't know, folks. I don't think that would work very well. I really don't. I don't think it would work to collapse the system. I mean, I don't know about you, but I kind of like having electricity. I like having running water. I like to be able to go to a shop and buy some food. I like to have these services functioning, and I'd like to see a transition period where we don't lose those services and the whole place doesn't turn into Gaza Strip for the interim. I'd like to see the human condition free, but I'd like to see us take some sensible steps to gain that freedom. Steps that will protect the people, not steps that will lead to violence and chaos and a power vacuum, which seems to be what a lot of the alternative media is pushing.
And that's quite a paradox too, really, folks, when you think about it. You know, people want freedom, but on what terms do you want the freedom? You want freedom where you're actually going to be free, or do you want freedom whereby people are going to suffer? That's really the problem, folks. We don't want people to be suffering in this transition. I'm sorry about the noises here in the jungle, folks. I suppose you can all hear that bird. It sounds like a car alarm. But it is quite intense here with the wildlife sometimes. But look, we want freedom where people are not going to be suffering in the transitional process. You know, it's a paradox. It's a paradox of wanting freedom from this system. You know, we're doing what we do because we want freedom for the human condition. But there are so many people within this movement who are prepared to allow people to suffer in this transition. And that is really not what it's about. It's not about allowing people to suffer. It's about freeing people. It's about changing the human condition. And that's what we want to do. And we've got to find some sort of a transition that is going to bring all of mankind with us. We don't want to be leaving people behind. And we don't want to be creating a situation that simply lapses into chaos. I mean, I don't know how many people out there have lived through wars or have been to actual war zones and seen what goes on in these areas and what happens to the people, what happens to the infrastructure, what happens to mankind, what happens to the human condition under these circumstances. And folks, it's not something that you want to experience. You don't want to experience a war. You don't want to experience civil war. You don't want to experience the violent overthrow of any government. And we don't need to do any of that. We could do it in a very simple manner, by simply changing our perspective and stepping into our power. You know, once people realize that they are just people, the same as everybody else, and the rulers, the so-called rulers, are just people, the same as everybody else, and that we all have power, and that we're living in a paper-based reality, and we turn and apply ourselves to this reality and just call things for what they are, then we can change things really quickly. Once people realize this, and they see the simplicity of how easily change could be effected, I'm sure they will see that we don't need any violent revolution anyway. And it's my great hope that that is a path that we will go down, folks. It really is. Then again, we've got every opportunity to do it, folks. We really do. I mean, the world is changing. The world is changing around us. And whether you believe it or not, we are having a major effect on these changes. The alternate media and those who have been pushing the truth to the world for so long now are having a major effect. So many people are listening now, and so many things are changing. Even the world political situation is beginning to change a little bit, in as much as the politicians are realizing that we're seeing them for what they are, and they're beginning to realize that they have to at least pretend to act a little bit responsibly in some instances. I mean, you know, they're going to still be as corrupt as they can, and they're only going to give what they need to in order to maintain their power. But in this process, we are seeing some major changes happen. Just the deal that went through with Iran was a major step forward. And hey, I don't support nuclear energy in any way, shape, or form. But what just happened with the nuclear agreement with Iran was really a major step forward in peace relations between East and West. And it's a major step forward in as much as it may help people realize where the real instability in the Middle East and where the real trouble between East and West is coming from. Because it's not coming from the Muslim world, folks. It really isn't. It's coming from people who are manipulating things and making it appear as if the trouble is coming from the Muslim world. And really, folks, the main cause of all of these problems is the economic system. And I've been saying this to you for years. That is the main cause of all of these problems. This global economic system, this homogenization of the planet, the interdependence that is happening right around the planet. I've often spoken how all the nations are losing their autonomy via economic means, because every nation is becoming dependent upon every other nation. You know, you can't manufacture everything your nation needs to run from within the borders of your nation anymore. You have to import steel from somewhere else, or you have to import your food from somewhere, or you've got to import your fuel from somewhere, or your timber or something. There's something that you've got to get from somebody else. And they've constructed it this way because they've turned the world into one global corporate entity. That's what all these trade agreements are all about, folks. It's just a homogenization of the planet, a corporatization of the planet, and it's all being done via the economic system. You know, the economic system is the head of the snake, folks, but how do we get to the head of the snake? We've got to realize how it's all been constructed. The economic system rests there above government and controls our governments, but it's able to do so again through this paper-based reality. It's able to do so via legislation that governments have put in place, which allows it to happen. Government is the barrier between us and the real controlling hand. Government is basically the administrative arm of the corporate system. That's basically what it is. Government is not the top of the food chain. Government is controlled, very heavily controlled, by the corporate system. But we can't get to this corporate system. We can't get to the banksters. We can't get to the banking cartels because we've got this barrier of government between us and them. And this barrier is, of course, protected by police. You know, you can't go and charge politicians with the crimes they deserve to be charged with, because the legal system reject your claims. They reject you having the ability to charge these people with any crimes, and they simply won't accept the charges if you try and do it. So you need to create a groundswell within the public. You need to change public perception and shift public opinion and help people focus on the cause of the problem, which is the legislation that the government puts in place, which allows all of this corporate rampage to go ahead across our planet and allows all of the secrets and all of the mysteries that exist to be there. This is all the result of legislation. It's all the result of the actions of public trustees, folks. And so that's why I believe that's where our focus needs to be, because if we can break down that barrier and we can find a crack, a chink in the armor, then we can expose what stands behind it. But we can't just scream out and point the finger and rant and rave about what stands behind it, as we've been doing for so many years, because it's not getting us anywhere. We have to find a way through, and we have to break down that barrier of government that prevents us from accessing what lies behind it. And that can only come with a united public and a shift in the public perspective. You know, it can only come when people shift their focus of where their attention needs to be and of what the actual cause of the problem is, because the cause of the problem, again, is legislation, folks. I mean, you can go to higher levels. Okay, the cause of the problem is the banking cartels, and ultimately the cause of the problem is a loss of self for us. But we've got to, again, break through this initial barrier of government. And it's kind of interesting when you look at it, because really it all comes down to us. We need to rediscover us ourselves. We need to rediscover this true self that we are in order to have the strength to turn and address the government in order to address what stands behind it. So again, it's a bit of a paradox. But that's what I've been trying to do, folks. I've been trying to alert people to the power that they all inherently hold. And that's what so many other people in this alternate movement have been doing as well. That's what so many people in the alternative media have been attempting to do. Just wake people up to the power that they hold, because once that power is discovered, then magic happens. And we need that magic, folks. We really do. But I think we're going to get it. I really do. I think that the world is going to step up to the plate. I think that the powers that believe they be are making things so disgraceful that the world really doesn't have any choice. People are going to have to step up to the plate, because now they're seeing things for what they are. And there's a certain beauty in that, and there's also a certain irony in that. And it's also a great paradox in the actions of the ruling hand, that the more they attempt to lock things down, the more people they wake up by default. The question is, will we wake up in time before they are able to slip what's really going on under the carpet and get it in place while people are distracted elsewhere with their head down the many rabbit holes that are provided for them to go and explore? But look, I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so it's very important that people do maintain focus at this time, folks. It really is. I think we have a huge opportunity for change right at our fingertips if people can simply grasp the reality of our situation. And we are facing some pretty dire times if people don't step up to the plate. I mean, this corporate system, this technocracy that they are rolling out is going to be very, very bad for the human condition if they get it in place. And they've certainly been going hell for leather with it. They've done a damn good job, really. I mean, they've got a lot of it in place already. They're highly intelligent people, folks, and they know what they're doing. And they tend to do things under the carpet while we are distracted looking elsewhere. They've managed to roll out this corporate economic system while everyone's been worried about a police state. Everyone's been worried that suddenly we're going to see civil war or an economic collapse or whatever. They've been slipping these trade agreements through, and they've been homogenizing the planet. They've been shifting industry offshore, and they've been creating massive interdependence throughout all nations. And even that's the downside of this agreement with Iran, because once trade is opened up with Iran, of course it opens up the possibility for Iran to get sucked into the world banking model and the world corporate system under the guise of friendship and free trade and partnerships and trade agreements and all sorts of things that they use to disguise this homogenization. But there is also that danger. You see, there's always a hidden side to everything that they do, folks. There really is. Even when something is good, there's always an ulterior motive for them doing it. What we have to do is to seize onto the opportunities that these things also provide for us, because we can exploit the good part and thereby will, in some cases, hopefully circumvent the other stuff that they try to bring in underneath. I mean, we've managed to do this in certain cases, folks. We had a massive success in stopping the initial invasion of Syria although they managed to do it by constructing ISIS and just going in there anyway under the guise of helping rebels overthrow the government, when really it was our government going in there as the rebels and sponsoring all these people anyway. That's just traditionally the way they do things, folks. If they can't go and invade a nation, then they create a rebel force to overthrow the government from within. And that's just the way it's done. So they often manage to get things through anyway, but we have managed to at least curtail them a bit, and we have managed to delay their plans a lot. But they sneak things through all the time, folks, and that's what they've done with this corporate economic model, and that's what they've also done with the whole transhumanist model, which actually also ties into the corporate economic model. If you look at the smart grid, you look at what the smart system is, this is all based on economics as well. Economics is how they control you. The economic system is most definitely the head of the snake. The state of manufactured scarcity that is a result of the economic system is what prevents you from doing anything. It's what prevents people from traveling freely around the earth. I mean, anywhere you go, you can't take more than $10,000 with you, so you can't exactly just pick up all your wealth and move to another country and never come home, because they make sure all your money's locked into a bank. They make sure that you can't take too much cash with you anywhere you go, and that you have to pay to be alive everywhere you are anyway, so you are immediately constrained in your movements, and you are limited in your movements, you're limited in what you can do, simply because you are forced to operate within the parameters of the economic system. And once this economic system is homogenized even more by coordinating it and consolidating it together with the smart grid, now you imagine you've got a smart fridge and a smart phone and a smart toaster. They know how much you're using them, they know what you're using, they are getting data on all of your purchases through your credit cards, so they know what sort of foods you're eating, they know what all your habits are, and now they can start creating a viable economic system around you to milk wealth from you at every opportunity. And that's what they do. The whole smart grid isn't about making things easier for you, it's about making things easier for them to be able to know what you're doing and be able to monitor your actions and to charge you for every action that you undertake. To charge you every time you open the fridge, to charge you every time you put something new in your fridge, to charge you for the amount of electricity you're using, to charge you every time you turn a light on. All of this sort of stuff, folks. So that's what it's all about. It's about controlling people via the economic model. And that's what this whole transhumanist, technocratic, technochronic, digital reality, virtual world that they are seeking to create will be based on. That is how it will be controlled, all via the economic model. And folks, so they've got stuff in mind like jewelry you can wear which is powered by the electromagnetic frequencies of your own body. There's jewelry that's been put out now by an Israeli company which literally burrows into your skin and basically becomes like a little growth on your arm. I mean, it's quite hideous stuff, folks. And imagine what it would be like when you go out and work for the day, then you come home and you work out what your labor units were, and that's how much electricity you're able to have in your home at night. And of course, all this will be determined not by people, but by a computer system and by the smart grid itself. And the smart grid will also determine the safety of the people and control the actions of the police forces. It will be able to determine who the enemies of state may be. And these, of course, will be people who dissent against government. And of course, all conversations will be monitored, because all conversations will occur in the digital realm. So this is where it's all going, folks. And again, it's all going to be based on the economic model, because in order to access any of these services, you're going to need to work a certain amount of hours at whatever job is designated for you to work at, because you are controlled by the economic model. You've got to have enough credits to be able to get by in life, and the way you obtain your credits will be determined by the control grid, and again, it will all be based on the economic model. And that's where so many of these other researchers and so many of these other systems that people attempt to find and so many of these other remedies people attempt to find fall down, because they fail to address the economic model. I mean, even people that are addressing all of these weird mysteries and things, they still fail to address the economic model. if you wanted to go to the South Pole, if you wanted to go out into space, if you wanted to do any of these things, you're constrained in your ability to be able to do so because of the cost in doing so. But really, there shouldn't be any cost. And that seems to be a very, very difficult thing for people to comprehend, the concept of a world without money. People simply can't comprehend how society could function or how reality could be here at all, how we could have any type of life or any type of functioning civilization on this planet at all if we didn't have money. But I don't know, folks, I can see it in my head. I can see how it would all work perfectly. If we simply did the right thing in all that we do, if we were simply free to create a vibrant world, I think that we would create something incredible and we'd find that we didn't need money to do it. And money's a very, very interesting program. How once people begin using it, then they can't seem to be able to function without it. But I think there are possibilities of a world without money, folks. And I think that if we could do that, we'd find that the possibilities are absolutely limitless. And again, folks, what constrains us in our possibilities, what constrains us in all that we do, is the economic system, and it's always been that way. And look, I don't really have this aversion to money or anything like that. I mean, I don't really care. Money's a useful tool, or it could be a useful tool for us to pass around. It's a convenient way for us to trade with each other. But the problem is that we have a money supply which is based in scarcity. It's a privately run system based in scarcity, and it's what has created all of the problems on the planet. You know, really, when you look at it, folks, the reason people cut corners, the reason we see this corporate rape, the reason we see wars, because all wars are based on a need to control others and a need to control resources because of a state of perceived scarcity. But all of it is a fiction. All of it's based in the economic system. And the economic system is how we are controlled. And all of the things that we're brought for our convenience may be very convenient in some ways, but all of the modern stuff that is being brought to us for our convenience, because it's all hooked up to the digital world, it's all smart equipment, this is not just convenient. It's also very, very manipulative. It's very, very easy to control people by using this technology. And it's also very damaging technology, folks. Wireless technology is extremely damaging. Mobile phones are extremely damaging for people. They're very, very bad for you, folks. They literally shatter your DNA. And worse than mobile phones are the cordless phones that people use in their houses. These are actually some of the most electromagnetically pollutive devices on the planet. And if you have a cordless phone in your house, I highly recommend that you switch to a corded phone. Like, really, folks, it's not that much hassle to walk into the room and pick up the phone where it is on the receiver and take the call there. You don't need to be able to wander around your house with the phone. It may be convenient, but it's very, very bad for you because the frequencies that these things put out are so damaging to your DNA, and your DNA can only really repair itself so many times. And this is another really big problem with the smart grid, the electromagnetic pollution that it creates, and that is the world of today, folks. We're living in a world that is literally swimming in electromagnetic pollution, and this is extremely damaging for the organism. It really is. But I guess I'm getting a little off topic here. But folks, the grid that they're putting in place, it's all economically based. Whether you're looking at the control grid, whether you're looking at the legal system, whether you're looking at the police state that they want to roll out. I mean, even the cops that work in the police state, they're all doing their job because they're living in a state of scarcity and they're getting a damn good wage for doing it. So again, it all comes down to the economic system, folks. The economic model is how we are controlled. It's how we've always been controlled. As they say, folks, the only thing in life that is certain, the death and taxes. And they tell you right there that they're controlling you by taxing you. They're controlling you via the economic system. And that's what this whole smart grid, what the whole transhumanist grid, what the whole control grid itself is based on. It's all based on the economic model. And the economic model is designed to prevent us from being who and what we are, and to prevent us from ever stepping into our natural propensity to give to each other. We are naturally a very cooperative species, folks, but the economic model trains us and teaches us to be a competitive species because that's the only way we're able to function within a corporate world. But that's not who we are. We want to cooperate with each other. We want to give to each other. We like to give to each other. It's good when you interact with people and you cooperate with each other and you build something fantastic or make something good. It feels good. It feels good to do it. And we all like to do that. But we're constrained in our ability to do that because time itself is money and we need to pay to be alive. And so therefore we need to sell our services to others. And if we see a chance to make money before someone else can do it, then we are trained to do so. We're trained to be competitive, we're trained to be ruthless in the business world, and this itself removes us from our ability to be truly human, because what we as human beings really want to do under natural circumstances is cooperate with each other. And personally, folks, I think it's very telling that everything this system trains us to do is exactly the opposite to that. You know, everything about this system is designed to create division and to create competition. And there are huge clues in that, folks. There really are. There's so much effort undertaken to keep us divided that there's a huge clue there in what the remedy is. The remedy is, of course, unity. Unity and a directed focus on where we need to focus our attention. It really does surprise me that people can't see that's where the focus should be, folks. It really surprises me that people are so willing and so readily go along with the paper-based reality, where people believe that they have to let politicians and corporations destroy the world because it's written on paper that they do so. Of course, the reason it happens is because we have the thugs and the police there, and you've got to wonder what is done to these people. How these people can be so disconnected from reality that they would literally allow a corporation to destroy their habitat and say there's nothing they can do about it because someone wrote down on a piece of paper that it was okay for them to do so. It really, really does surprise me, and I can't help but wonder whether they're microchipped or what it is that's done to these people that gets them to so readily go along with this corporate system. I mean, surely they must be able to see what they're doing. I'm certain there are some police officers that actually joined the force because they wanted to make a difference. I'm sure there are a lot of good police out there who believe that society is all messed up and that they can help people and they can save lives by becoming a police officer, and they join the force with the best of intentions. But when they get in there and they see the system for what it is, I mean, surely they must see the system for what it is at some stage. How they can continue to support it at that point is what fascinates me. It really boggles my mind how anybody could go along with what this system is doing, what it's doing to the people. And it fascinates me and surprises me that someone who joined something like the police force with the best of intentions to help and protect society could not see the truth of what they're swimming in and could continue to do the things they do. You know, how you could get in there and just continue to support the corporate destruction of this planet and to be as brutal as many of these people are towards other members of their society. I mean, don't they see their brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in these people that they brutalize and terrorize? Don't they see their own family members in there? Isn't there any type of inner cache in their souls at all? That's what I wonder, folks. I really wonder what has been done to these people to make them so blind and to make them so ready and willing to support such an obviously corrupt system. It really is a huge problem for society, folks, the blind nature of our police force and the lack of action by these people, their unwillingness to really turn and face the system and call it for what it is and to direct their attention where it needs to go as well. I mean, really, folks, it's a criminal system. I mean, let's face it, it's a criminal system. All you got to do is turn around and look at the state of the planet and see how many people are in a state of hardship, see the amount of damage that we're doing, And here, I mean, some of the stuff we hear on the news, folks, billions of dollars going missing here, trillions of dollars going missing there, people getting off scot-free for this and scot-free for that, while some small person goes to jail for stealing a loaf of bread and some eight-year-old in Palestine gets jailed for 10 years for throwing a rock at a tank. We have all of these corporate criminals running free, and we just read it in the newspapers. We get annoyed over our coffee with friends, but we don't ever really stand up and do anything about it again because we live in a disunited community. And that's why I put so much focus on that, folks. I mean, I don't know what it'll take to unify people, but there's got to be something out there that is going to get into people's minds and it's going to unify them to a point where they discover their own power, because that's what we need. We need people to rediscover themselves. I know I've been beating that drum for a long time, but I beat it because it's such an important issue and it's really what we need to do. And the focus has to be on the system, folks. Once we create this unity, we've got to turn and face the evil that is taking over this planet. Well, it has taken over this planet. It's actually been in control for a long time. And you can go down all sorts of esoteric rabbit holes. You can call Satan, you can call Archons, you can call whatever you want. But, folks, really the evil that's here, it exists in the mind of man. And therefore it can be confronted and curtailed and turned in another direction by the mind of man. But it can only happen if people are prepared to step up in unity and call things for what they are. This is what I'm trying to do with Full Circle, folks. I really want to change things with Full Circle Project. I really want to create a groundswell. I want to create a mechanism whereby people can lead themselves back to safety by calling things for what they are. But people have to be prepared to do it. We've got to stop being politically correct. We've got to stop looking for remedies that are external to ourselves. We've got to stop looking for saviors that are going to come and lead us to safety. And we've got to be prepared to step into our own power and simply call things what they are and to cooperate with the people around us. We've got to turn our societies into cooperative societies rather than competitive societies. It's not about the size of your front door, folks. It's about the size of your heart. It's not about the quality of your carpet. It's about the quality of your friendships, the quality of your relationships with people. It's not about how many digits and how many dollars you've got in the bank. It's about how healthy you are, how many friends you have, how many people you've helped along the way. That's really what life is about. It's about the breadcrumbs you've left for yourself. It's about your path to self-discovery. How much of yourself have you been able to discover? How much of yourself have you been able to express? How much art have you been able to create? Regardless of what that art may be, it may be the art of having children. It may be the art of talking. Maybe the art of sleeping. But how much of your art have you been able to create? That's what life is about, folks. It's not about collecting digits. It's not about collecting possessions, because you can't keep any of them. You're only here for a little while. It doesn't matter what you own. It matters what you do with your time here. It matters about how you establish your relationships with people. It matters about how much you've helped the human condition move to something better than where it's going, move to something better than what it is. Because it's been in a pretty deteriorating state for a long time now, and it's just getting worse. Many would say it has to happen, and I'm one who probably believes that as well. I think it does have to happen. I think things have needed to have gotten as bad as they have, because it's the only thing that would wake mankind up. And obviously they need to get worse yet, because mankind still collectively is not completely awake. But hopefully mankind will wake up in time, because until he does, things are just going to continue to get worse, folks. The situation is going to continue to deteriorate. And that's an important thing for people to understand as well. If you are out there and you are awake and you're getting frustrated and you're getting saddened and perhaps apprehensive of the fact that people are perhaps not waking up in time, then you've got to understand that it's simply because things aren't negative enough for them yet for people to wake up. But just the fact that there are so many more people talking about these issues now than what there were even a year ago shows that this is true, that the more negative things get, the more people wake up. And so you can see this is a prophecy that is being fulfilled. People are waking up because it's getting so negative. They're just not waking up enough. They're not waking up to their own power because they haven't really had their backs pushed to the wall yet. And that's what it will take for many people. And unfortunately, it's coming to that point where people's backs probably will be pushed to the wall. And that will cause them to stand up and it will cause many people to step into their power. So have no fear of that happening, folks. It's going to happen. The best thing we can hope for is that when it does happen, it doesn't happen in a violent manner because there's really no need for violence. There's no need for it to lapse into that. I mean, sure, it may lapse into something that may be self-defensive, but that isn't violence, folks. That's counter-violence. And counter-violence is quite justified. There's nothing wrong with counter-violence as long as you're not the one who is instigating the violence, because we don't want violent revolution. Violent revolution destroys all infrastructure. It destroys all chance of any viable future without help from external sources. And if the revolution goes global, then there won't be any external sources to get any help from. So we don't want that. All we need to do is change our perspective and we can change things, folks. And please do go and join Full Circle Project to help us do this. This is what I want to do this year. I really want to spend a lot of time focusing on the Full Circle Project. I think we can make a difference if we can find a way of unifying our societies, unifying this action across the globe. We will make a difference, and that's what it's all about, folks. I think this is the year. The gloves are coming off. We've got all the mechanisms that we need now in place for us to make a difference should we choose to participate, and it's my great hope that people will. So please do sign up and participate in the Full Circle Project. The website for that, of course, is fullcircleproject.net. So please do go and sign up to it. Still working on the website, folks. We will get it up there soon. But please do go and sign up to the Community Connector now and start connecting with folks in your own local community. And let's get some coordinated action happening right across this earth in a manner that is actually going to work, because it's going to have the focus that is needed to make it work. That's the thing, folks. We've got focus now. We've got people who want to be involved. And look, Full Circle Project, folks, there's so many people that really do want to be involved in this. There's so many people that are getting on board. There's so many people that are starting to coordinate their groups and coordinate action. And it's really exciting to see it all coming together the way it is. It's really exciting to see that we've actually got a platform whereby we can link all of these movements up together, and we can link all of ourselves up together. We can find people in our communities, and we can really start the ball rolling and get some coordinated action happening right across this planet. So please do sign up and do get involved in the Full Circle Project. But look, folks, we're just about at the end of the show here. Time really does fly when I come on and speak to you people. I love coming onto the show and talking to you, and I love being able to communicate my ideas to you. And we're going to make a difference, folks. We're at a real turning point in the world today. We really are. There's so many things going on right across the earth. There really is. There's so much action that is happening. There's so many people who are waking up from their slumber. There's so many people that are pulling the blinders off. All we need to do is now create some focus so that we can create a safety net for the people that are waking up, the people that can see the corruption for the first time so they don't go into fear. We need to provide them a safety net, and we need to lead people back to safety, or at least help them find a path where they can lead themselves. That's really what I want to do, because we can't lead them. People can only lead themselves. But look, that's it for me, folks. I'm pretty well out of time now. Thank you for joining me in the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to thecrowhouse.com. I've put a new donate button up there so people can actually find it now. A lot of people say they can't find how to contribute to the site, but there is a new donate button there you'll find. It would be really great if people could make some contributions. They've been very few and far between, folks, and I really could do with some support. So thank you to anybody who has. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. But that is it for me now. I'm completely out of time. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.